Reed Martin, do you have any? What's your worst job ever?
I worked for this theater company called Reduced Shakespeare Company. And it, oh, man, it was a nightmare.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 190, Worst Jobs Ever. As actors and writers, we've all had survival jobs. Some of us still have survival jobs. After one of our recent Kennedy Center performances, Dominic Conti, Reed Martin, and I were joined by Mick Orff, who came through town to learn the changes in the Hollywood show. Mick will be returning to Hong Kong this fall, performing The Complete History of America Abridged and The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged with Dominic and Jeff Marlowe. And then the three of them will head on to Singapore to perform The Complete History of America Abridged and Completely Hollywood Abridged. As we inhaled our post-show food, Mick, Dominic, Reed, and I compared the various terrible jobs we've had over the years.
Between my first and second years of college, I worked as a sort of assistant factotum. It was in Erie, Pennsylvania, you know, so there's, you know, janitorial skills to be done. And it was at my high school, my old high school. So I was, I don't even remember how I got the job or why they thought they should give it to me, because I had no handyman skills, no real dexterity whatsoever in that respect. You know, no understanding, no, like, I remember one point they told me, all right, just get this blackboard down and take this off and, you know, get this done, and, you know, we're going to move on to the thing there. Hour and a half, the guy came back later, and I was sitting in a chair, just beaten. I could not unscrew one thing on this blackboard. I was supposed to take the blackboard down. I was just, like, sitting there. He's like, what the hell? You're supposed to have this thing. What is it? You know, and in 2 minutes, he had the blackboard completely off the wall and down, and he was just looking at me with, the distaste, you know, to put it mildly.
What about you, Mick Orff?
I worked at the summer, I actually did it 2 years in a row, 2 summers in a row. When I got accepted at NYU, it's an expensive school, as we all know. And I needed to come up with a certain amount of money. I had a chunk of it was financial aid, was going to be paid for, a partial scholarship. Mm-hmm. My parents were going to put up another nice chunk, and I had to come up with $6,000 between June and September. And I got a job that summer. At the time, it was for a kid to make money, for an 18-year-old kid with no experience in anything.
$6,000 is kind of tricky.
Yeah. It's tricky. And this job could do it. I worked in a factory that made those juice boxes with the straws on the side called Sips. They were called S-S-I-P-P-S, Sips. They have them all, every juice has that now, but these were like the first Sips. And the place was called Johanna Farms in Flemington, New Jersey. And I worked from midnight to 8 a.m. But the big money was made when you got overtime from 8 a.m. to noon. So I had to make this sort of like mental commitment at the beginning of the summer when they asked if you wanted overtime. Yes, I see. The answer is yes. So imagine working from midnight to noon. It's just the weirdest time. And I worked 6 days a week. I had no life at all. I was playing in a band, so I would try to sometimes play these gigs with my band, and like an idiot, I would drink a couple beers while I was playing and all that and other things too, and then go to work that night at midnight, and then you know, you're hoping for 8. And because I was the young guy and the new guy, there was no saying no also. I couldn't really say no because I needed the money anyway, but there, on that day when I was, you know, arriving at work hungover, or working through my hangover, and all I wanted to do was sleep. You can't say no if they say we need 5 people, and Orff, you're definitely right. One of the 5. It was an awful, awful job. I was pale. I ate Captain Crunch, you know, for dinner every night, and drank.
You thought that was breakfast.
Yeah, and you know, smoking too much and drinking coffee all day long. And I nailed, so that I could sleep in the day when I got home, I nailed blankets over my windows. And I, of course, never bothered to take them down. And because I was working a lot, I probably reeked, you know? I started to grow a beard. I never shaved. I was pale. And my room stank. And my parents used to call it the Bat Cave because it smelled so bad from me.
There it smelled of Mick.
Mick Orff smell.
Yeah, at that job, I also had to go down in a sewer area underneath this manhole.
Oh my God!
And I was like only 19 at the time, but even then going down there, I knew that they were selling me out because I was a new guy in the block. Some new guy goes down there and like gathers all sorts of horror.
Oh no!
Can you imagine what like their tampons and used condoms down there, and I had to distribute them into the whatever thing or whatever and come up out of there, and it was just terrible. And to top it all off, I mean, there were many, many other demeaning horrors, but to top it all off, the very end, like maybe my last week or so, they let me drive the big old, like, carries all the giant truck. It was a giant truck, and it, like, you know, that's what they moved all the branches and whatever in. And I chose not to really look in the rearview mirror altogether too much, and I crumpled the car next to me. I very damn near crumpled it. And, I don't know how much trouble they can really get into. The insurance covered it and all that. But, like, you know, the next year, I'm like, well, I need a job again. So I'm like, hey, you want to, I'll come back to work there, hoping I don't have to go down into the sewers again. They're like, oh, we'll find somebody else.
Oh!
Yeah, so the worst job I ever had, I couldn't get again.
I was sitting here racking my brain. Baseball umpire, nothing but abuse.
Sure, sure.
They hate you.
Yeah, they hate you. I mean, but that's it's a good and a bad thing. I'm really happy I did it, but professional baseball umpire, like I showed up in Butte, Montana. I've never been in Butte, Montana. The game hasn't even started. We walk out to home plate. Kill the ump! They've never laid eyes on me.
You haven't missed a call? Nothing.
No, the game hasn't even started yet. Yeah.
That's one of those jobs, too, where, like, when you're doing it right, no one says, hey, nice call. Right?
What? Way to get that count right.
Well done. Yes. They only complain when you get something wrong.
They never cry, let the ump live.
No. Or if you kick one, they never go, it's only a game.
Yeah. He's just a human being doing his best. As the full beer can flies towards Reed's head.
Yeah. What about you, Austin? What was the worst job you ever had?
Well, you know, we're all in the theater, so we've all waited some tables. I waited tables at a restaurant. When I first got out of college, I waited tables at a restaurant called Quiche Me Quick. Now, in my defense, I was young and I needed the money. It was the early 80s. And so quiche was very big. Remember they had those books, Real Men Don't Eat Quiche? Well, what? There was a backlash to Real Men Don't Eat Quiche, and they came out with Quiche Me Quick. And I was just waiting at tables, and I realized, wow, I really don't like serving people. And I got a job. Then I applied for a job, another job, closer to home. It would have still been waiting tables, but it would have been closer, in Berkeley, actually. And I applied for the job, and the guy said, how'd you like to bartend? And I went, oh, I've never done that. Let's do that. I loved bartending and discovered that being the bartender, you have much more control than being just a server, because they come to your bar, but you have to serve their table. So, you know, that was definitely a plus.
86 their asses.
Yes, you
Anytime
can.
Anytime you get too much back sass.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Wasn't there an incident at Henry's where somebody came in and shot the place up? Was that while you were working there?
That was after. Actually, my brother and sister were working there. Not on that shift, but they were working there when that guy came in and took some hostages and shot up the place.
Oh, hostages?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been the worst job ever.
He must have hated that quiche.
Thank you.
when I was in high school, I was captain of the St. Andrew Presbyterian Church softball team. And the Martin children, there were four of us, we used the phone a lot. We were all teenagers, so we had our own line. And only our friends called us on this line. And so we would always answer, smartass, you know. Hi, Martin's Mortuary. You stab them, we slab them. So somebody called, like, hey, Martin, you stab them, we slab them. And it's a grown-up voice on the other going, sorry? I said, hi, this is Reed Martin. Yeah, I'm calling from the Grace Reformed Church. I'm the captain of the softball team, and I was calling to cancel our game this week because we've had a death in the congregation. And that wasn't my best moment.
From a stab wound?
Was the guy stabbed? <Yeah. laughs>
I didn't ask any questions. I'm so sorry.
Hiya, friends. Ralph Sportsman Motors, the world's largest used, nude, and nude lewd automobile dealership here in cyberspace. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, along with all the other whales.
Where can you see the RSC? Well, for the time being, you can see us on YouTube and hear us every week on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. But we do get that question every week via email or on Twitter or on Facebook. Where can we see you? How can we find out where you'll be? The absolutely very best way to stay up to date about all our performances is to sign up for our email newsletter. It's a great mailing list to be on because we never send you anything, only when we have something cool to announce, like newly added tour dates. You'll be able to see us this fall in Lowell, Massachusetts in September, and after that, Richmond, Virginia, Princeton, New Jersey, Burlington, Vermont, Providence, Rhode Island, Charlotte, North Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, Richardson, Texas, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, plus Hong Kong and Singapore. You can sign up for our newsletter easily at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. And now back to our memories of our worst jobs ever.
When I was in college, I was a stage manager for the Oakland Symphony, which was a great gig, by and large, for the most part. Because I sat there doing my college homework, listening to the Oakland Symphony perform. Yeah, it was great. Got to hear some great music. But they did a Pops concert once, and Roberta Flack came in. And Roberta Flack was fine, but her road crew was the worst. I mean, I almost came. It was like one of my very first gigs with them, and I hire the union crew, so I have my union crew to help us load in. And I was whatever I was, 20. 21, whatever I was, a kid, really. And Roberta Flack wrote, they were English, too. They were English. And I don't know why, but they came in and they called, well, this will never do. Started kicking stuff over and saying, oh, no, it's got to be this way, that'll be that way. They were just jerks. And now, 30 years later, I can go, well, all right, they were probably had roads. They've been on the road a long time. They were sick of their jobs, too, whatever. But they were just a-holes. And it literally almost came to blows with me yelling at their road manager and then all of my union stagehands lining up behind me. With all of his guys lining up behind
that's
him.
Nice they backed you up, though. That'd have been rough. That'd have been the worst job if you had nobody behind you and you had all the people behind you.
No, it turned out okay, but I literally had to, at the end of that, we took our lunch break, and I had to leave the building and just stop shaking. It was so, that was crazy. But then all afterwards, all these, grizzled old union stagehands were going, hey, good job, kid.
When I first joined the RSC, and it wasn't a full-time job, and I was in L.A., and I went to work for CalPERG, which is the California Public Interest Research Group run by Ralph Nader. So it's about environment and consumer safety and all this, going door-to-door, raising money. And I'm the worst at that. Hi, I'm here with CalPERG, and I'm interested. Okay, thank you. I raised up to $5 a night.
After I got out of waiting tables, I started temping in New York City and then in Chicago. And when we moved to Chicago, I started temping, and it was, temping was a great job, actually. It's not the worst job ever, but it was the great job because I realized I go in there every place I went, they said, could you work here permanently? I almost got offered a job. And I think, well, the bar must be so low. I mean, people can't.
I've temped too. If you show up and your eyes aren't rolling in your head, they're like, maybe this guy can stick around.
And you can spell your name. I mean, the bar must be so low. Well, I went to this one place, and it was down in downtown Chicago on Wacker Drive, and way up high on a skyscraper, and it was a law firm. I tended to, it's funny, you know, I play lawyers on TV, and I tended to be a legal temp in a lot of places. So I'd go up in there, and I was on, working for this woman who I think was on maternity leave or something like that. And so I walked in there, and the office manager said, just sit here at your desk, and the lawyer you'll be working for will be along in a few minutes just to walk you through things. And I went, okay, great. And so then the lawyer walks up, and it's this attractive woman in her 30s or whatever, and she walks and says, all right, here's your desk, here's the in and out box, I will put stuff in the in box, and you deal with it and put it in the out box, I'll take it. And then you bring it into my, now, and then if you run out of stuff, you come into my office, here, and then we walked into her office, and I said, dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought I would be writing you. No, I go into her office, and she said, now, if you run out of work, there's the inbox on my desk, you know, just grab that stuff and then put it back when you're done. And I said, and this is the desk that you'll be chasing me around. And she went, yes, that'll be yes, of course, yes. Good joke. And I went, okay, I made the lawyer laugh, and I'll go back to my desk now. So then, later in the afternoon, my inbox and outbox were empty. Her inboxes and outbox were empty. Make up your own jokes later. Ladies and gentlemen. So I start just going, you know, searching my computer that I'm working on, and I'm reading about the law firm that I'm working at, and I'm reading about the lawyer that I'm working for. Turns out she was one of the country's leading sexual harassment lawyers. And they still asked me to stay on. I mean, I think I worked there for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I said I think I gotta leave town. But anyway.
I think it might have been probably the summer when they refused to have me back as the assistant factotum between my sons of bitches. You ruined one car, you know, and then they people don't let you back into the
can't
the
take
fold.
Apart one blackboard.
Yeah. You know, and then they assume you're useless.
They assumed right.
But anyway, I think it was the next summer I worked at a place. It was in Northeast, which is north and east of where I lived in Harbor Creek, up here in Pennsylvania. And it was like a fake hostess. It wasn't like hostess like cream cakes or whatever those were, like, you know, like it was called, like, you know, like Nancy's cream cakes. But they were the same thing, but like, you know, just a runoff.
Hydrox tried to be Oreo.
Yeah. Exactly. Just like that. Yeah, really, yeah, like just complete low rent. And I worked there with like me and like a million other like middle-aged old ladies. Working like it was kind of like a Marx Brothers movie, because like the cakes would come flying down this like
it's like the Lucy episode.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, and I was Lucy, because the cakes would come flying down. You're supposed to put them in slots, and I would like kept grabbing cakes and crushing them.
And I would, like, decrush.
Yeah, I crush them.
This is why we call you that.
I'd be like, oh dear God, no! You know, and like you know, throwing them in slots and missing the slots. They're like, no honey, like this, no honey. You know, like. And they'd take me off that task, you know? And then they put me on the task where, like, you have to, like, you know, like, you, as soon as they come down and then the ladies put them in the slots, then they go through another thing where I guess they get frosted or some damn thing, and then you put them in boxes. And I'm like, crunch, smash, scarab, crunch, crunch, terror, horror, you know? And then finally they had me on pallets where you just had to lay a pallet down on the box. Like, put another pallet over and you're, okay, now ready for the trucks to take away these horrible, terrible, fake ass hostess dealings. Maybe that was the worst job, because I was pretty bad at that. You know? Maybe if I were really great at it, I'd love it. Maybe if they gave me a chance.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't think anybody's given you more than 3 or 4 or 5 chances.
Yeah. 6, 10, 12, 15 chances, and then I'm out.
But then also the circus is kind of it's a good and bad job. 2 years with Ringling, where it's fantastic, you travel the country, but you're making $180 a week, you're living in a roomette, which is like, you know, 5'9" by 3 feet. I mean, it's just a closet.
Filled with angry clowns.
Yes, mostly me. And,
I'm 4 of those 5 angry clowns.
Yeah, yes. And, doing 13 shows a week. So, but I mean, so those are all good and bad jobs. The one I think about that didn't actually pay is the one, it wasn't really a job, but my mom supervised vacation Bible school. And when I was too old to go to vacation Bible school, she said, well, Reed, you're going to come help out. I was a teenager, I don't know, 13, 14. And there was a song called stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And there's a stop sign that says stop, and then you flip it around and says, and let me tell you. Mm-hmm. So here I am in front of all these elementary school students leading the hymns. I think that might have been the worst job I ever had.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your worst job ever via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at Facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, former touring actor Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Colleen Lacey. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ralph Spoilsport from Ralph Spoilsport Mortars. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 195,170th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.